Hello and welcome to this special edition podcast. It's being brought to you by the folks at X3FFDF and the JPAG. Representing the JPAG are...
Randall Smith.
Wesley Johnson.
And representing the X3F Defence Force podcast are Richard Elliott, that's me.
Holly Atessi.
So this episode we are kind of doing a bit of mix and match with the two formats of both shows, and we're just going to posh it all into one mega podcast. This is all in aid of the Extra Life fund that the JPAG they've started up a group, and we're kind of... Someone help me out here.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just in awe of your sophistication.
Oh, yeah.
I just say, righto. I don't know. That's my bad.
Righto.
Right. But yeah, it's the Extra Life thing was started by the guys at Sarcastic Gamer to benefit a children's hospital in Texas, a leukemia hospital. And yeah, they came up with this thing, 24 hours of gaming. It's kind of like a walkathon, but for out-of-shape people. I think Justin made that comment on a post he did about it. So yeah, you play games and you say whoever pledges, let's say I'll give this much per hour, and yeah, you play games, and sounds like it's going to be fun, but sadly I'll have to miss out due to me having to work that day.
Both podcast crews are going to have like a little bit of a face-off. Like, we're going to have three games. At the moment we're shooting for Call of Duty 4 and a bit of Griffball on Halo 3, and the third game is going to be announced soon, so... Yeah.
Yeah, I think what we'll try to do is, because obviously you need two teams, we're going to put the call out to the JPAG this week and ask folks both whether they'd like to participate, be on one of the teams, and then also if they have suggestions for game number three and how that might work.
Yep. So that sounds like a good idea. So how is everyone?
Fantastic. They can't Oh, us.
Yes. You.
It's all about us.
Everybody.
What? Yeah, I actually want to hear. I want to hear about the last week, Wes. Because I mean, Wesley wasn't on our show last week because he was at a con and in Cleveland. And I know I'm actually opening up a can of worms here, even asking about this.
Yes, the con was quite excellent. I ripped that old lady off for millions. I'm just kidding. No. Last week, I took some time off. There was a couple of different conventions around this time. There was one in St. Louis, and some of the guys from Mystery Science Theater were going to be there. I almost went to that one, but I kind of decided to go to Ohio instead. Went up there to see my friend Suzanne. We hung out the day before. She lives near Cleveland, so I was pretty far north. That's the closest to Canada I believe I've ever been, and probably the closest I'd ever want to be. No offense, I was just kidding. But yeah, we hung out. We went to see a movie or whatever the day before. And then the next day, I went to the con.
What kind of con was it?
It was a comic con. It was called the Mid-Ohio Con. They had science fiction stuff. It was mostly comics. They had some actors there, too. The most notable celebrity there, as far as I'm concerned, was Doug Jones. He played Abe Sapien in Hellboy. He's been in a couple different things. He was Pan in Pan's Labyrinth, and he was also the Pale Man, that freaky guy that chased the girl that was sitting at the dinner table.
Oh, the one with the eyeballs in his hands?
Yeah. That was him. Most of Doug Jones' roles have been with him completely covered in makeup, so you don't always recognize him, but he's a really interesting-looking guy. He's tall and extremely lanky, and he's double-jointed. I don't know if anyone's ever run across him.
The Pan's Labyrinth thing. I mean, he had, like, goat legs, and those have to go backwards.
Yeah, and that's the thing with him. Even though a lot of people wouldn't know him just by seeing him, like, some of the stuff he can do is just, like, amazing. Like, and I guess that's why they always cast him as some sort of creature. He also did all the motion capture for the Silver Surfer character in the Fantastic Four movie. And they thought that he was going to be able to voice the character too, but the studio went with Lawrence Fishburne at the last second for some reason or another. I guess they wanted all the people who recognized him from his days as Cowboy Curtis to come onto the movie, get that extra publicity. Pee-wee's Playhouse, everybody knows that, I'm sure. But that's happened to Doug Jones a lot. Like, he was also in the first Hellboy when he was Abe Sapien. They got David Hyde Pierce to do his voice for some reason or another, as if that's name recognition. I mean, But David Hyde Pierce was so upset about this. I don't know if he got in some sort of contract and couldn't get out of it, but he refused a credit on the first film because he thought the voice should have been Doug. So that was cool. But yeah, I got to meet him, and I saw Jason Mewes, which is Jay from Jay and Silent Bob. He was there, and he gave a interesting talk. I didn't get to talk to him, though. He was kind of interesting. He was kind of like a reluctant celebrity. You could really tell. He said when Clerks came out, he was doing roofing, I think, and he didn't really make any money on the first Clerks, and he was so apprehensive about getting on camera and looking like an idiot, he pretty much got trashed every day before filming. He said he was drunk throughout the whole movie-making process. And he went on to say that was such a problem when they made Mallrats and an actual studio was behind the film. They made him try out for the role, despite the fact they'd already played it in one film. And he got it. He won the audition. But even after that, they had a stand-in Jay at the side. And he said the stand-in Jay was Seth Green. But I discovered a few interesting comic books. Those are the only two, I guess, celebrity encounters I had. There's a new one that I'm really liking called Love and Capes. It was a web comic for a while, and I told you a little bit about this, Randall. It's kind of they bill it as a superhero situation comedy, and the artwork is kind of similar to The Tick. The humor style is not as absurdist as The Tick, but I think it'll appeal to fans of that comic. But you can read I think the entire first issue online. It's at lovingcapes.com. And that guy was funny. I talked to him briefly, and later I found out that he was a contestant on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and he won like $30,000. I think he does some self-publishing, so I'm sure most of that money was probably sunk back into that. But I thought that was kind of interesting.
Cool.
And two more discoveries, and then I'll shut up. Apparently the mice genre of comics are really big right now. Like there was two books there, two creators there. Mice Templar and Mouse Guard, the people responsible for those books. I got to meet those guys. And the artwork for those books are phenomenal, or is phenomenal.
Wait, really, can you stop for a second? And the mice genre.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's particularly a genre. I was really tripping over my English there for a minute. But yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't call it a genre per se, but it's like fantasy stories involving mice for some reason. I don't know what got people started on that, but there were two booths right next to one another, one for a book called Mice Templar, which is published by Image, and then there's a Mouse Guard, and I can't remember the publisher on that one.
So are these mice that have they've actually taken on human characteristics, or are these actual, is it supposed to be, how realistic is it?
It's pure fantasy. It reminded me a little bit of Secret of Nim, but more fantasy oriented.
Okay.
But yeah, they're all talking or whatever, and secret ancient societies and blah blah blah. The artwork, though, even without the plot, the artwork is just awesome. So I highly recommend both of those books. And it was about an 8-hour drive up to Suzanne's house, and then I went about 3 hours to Columbus. So yeah, it was a long trip, but it was worth it. I had fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, and
so that's how this is doing.
Yeah, that's how I'm doing. Hopefully you managed to make something out of all that babble and all those grammatical errors I just made. Kind of tired, guys. But yeah, someone else can. That's all I have to say about that. I forgot my catchphrase.
Oh, okay. Now I know where I am now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, has anyone else got anything to talk about?
Are you Canadian?
I'm not your buddy, friend.
That was a bewildering accent. I'm not sure what that was, but
I have no idea. Oh, I'm just Terrence and Phillip.
Terrence and Phillip. I'm familiar with the name, but I don't think I've seen any other work.
Okay, then.
Okay, we're losing steam.
Are we going to do the Dragon Slayer / Achievement of the Week?
Yes. So I have
go one first.
That I've been dying to say actually for some time. So, can
go
I?
For it.
All right. I found Shadowmere.
Oh, finally! Where was he at?
He was back.
Gandalf had him.
No, she was back at Fort Farragut, of course. So, and since then, I've actually completed a couple of the guild quest lines and have gotten back into playing Oblivion. So, actually, to the detriment of playing Rock Band 2 this past week. So. Mm-hmm. Patrick, sorry, I know you've sent me a couple of invites, and I've been unable to join lately, but I'll look for you a little bit later today, hopefully.
Yeah, I need to pick up a headset so I can do some of that stuff online.
You know, the headset that comes with the system is fine, I guess. But if yours breaks, or if you need to get another headset, particularly if you need a headset for playing Rock Band with the Fender Strat, where you have to have a special adapter, you can use a regular cell phone headset. And the best deal in those that I have found anywhere is Plantronics used to make a special edition headset for the original Xbox that came out when Halo 2 was released. And it's a little translucent green thing. It's essentially the same as a headset that they sell for corporate applications for people who run call centers. And it's also just a regular cell phone headset they sell elsewhere. The difference is that it was sold originally for about $60-$70 when it came out because it was Halo 2 branded. And now they can't sell them because obviously, you know, Halo 2 is way in the rearview mirror. So you can go on eBay and find these Plantronics Halo 2 headsets for under $20, including shipping. And
yeah, didn't we see a few for like $8? Buy it now whenever now we're looking at those.
They made a ton of them. And I mean, I've gotten a couple that I use one when I play Rock Band. So if you're looking for a new headset, you should check that out.
I bought a new headset this week because I had an original headset, obviously, and that bust, little tip come off the end of the little adapter. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So on my travels to America, I picked up one of those big-ass NFL coach headsets.
Oh, yeah.
Motorola ones.
Right.
Like an absolute dork in it, but it worked. It did the job for a bit. And then that broke. So I've just gone out and bought an official Xbox headset. And it's changed from the original one. There's no longer this is probably old news to most people, but like they had like the wide clip at the bottom of it. That's completely gone. It's now just like a little single plug. And instead, like the mute switch is now somewhere up near, like, it's on the cable itself. So I preferred it when it was like on the little clip near the bottom of the Xbox controller, but now it's just, oh well.
So oh, you've been to America a few times?
Yep. Well, last year I went to New York. Just had about a week there.
Yeah, seen get the mugged? Sights.
Nah. Sadly, that's one of the things that. Well, that's one of the things that one of the experiences I didn't come away with.
Maybe next time.
That kind of reminds me of
Wayne's World, the whole thing where they're doing the chroma key thing. Hey, I got a gun. Let's go to a Broadway show. You want to remember that? Guess not. Wayne's World is a great movie. You guys need to check that one out.
I will one day.
Yeah. Yeah, and you should try Kentucky next time. We have horses. They're not demon powered or anything, but.
Oh, that's no fun. There's no fun in non-demon powered horses.
Yeah, they do run faster powered by demons, but they're a little bit nicer without.
When they've got some flames coming out the back instead of a mane.
I guess I'll do my Dragon Slayer moment. I know this is our typical JPEG getting off topic. topicness.
That's our contribution to the show is completely derailing it.
Richard and Holly bring the professionalism. We bring the
unprofessionalism.
Yeah. Right.
Yin and Yang. We're like the Bizarro X3F. Don't remember the acronym.
Me am not on show.
But I'll get into my Dragon Slayer before I get any further off topic. This week I've been playing a lot of old school NES games through ROMs in preparation for a new show a friend and I are doing, Dan Diemer, who you might have seen on the podcast appreciation group. We're doing a new show called I Am Air, and the premise behind the show is that each week we're going to pick one theme and play really horrible games that go along with that theme from the 8 and 16-bit era. We may dip into 64-bit as well. I haven't fully decided on that yet. But our first episode is on Bible games, and the episode will be titled Holy Crap. And we're looking at four games made by Wisdom Tree, which is a company that produced they produce like audio Bibles and a lot of different Christian products, including games. And they were not officially licensed by Nintendo. I think they were one of the first companies to put out a lot of games without the official seal. Y'all all remember from back in the day.
And this isn't exactly evidence of their being pioneers. This is evidence of them being shady.
Yeah, and see, they're known for reverse engineering the lockout chip that Nintendo had. And there was one game they came out with, which I believe was the only non-official Nintendo game to come out on Super Nintendo, one without the seal. And it was so bad that they had the game itself, it looked like a Game Genie. You guys remember the Game Genie, right? And you had to have another cartridge to act in, and acted kind of like a dongle between the system and the cartridge. So you actually had to have a workaround to play, I think it was Super Noah's Ark 3D or something like that. So yeah,
is that the one where you go around and you've got your Noah and you've got a slingshot, and you have to, like, instead of shooting things, you're actually shooting food into the mouths of the animals on the Ark?
Maybe, like, it used the Wolfenstein engine. I know we talked about that in one of our first goes at the show today. I didn't play it myself, but I was reading up on it on Wikipedia, setting up for the show. And
is that tech support ringing in the background there?
Oh no, that's the library's phone. They're not calling me this time though. That's actually just the main phone line. So
you've
I'm
just
cool
made
right
the
now.
Decision that they're not calling you,
right? This is not the tech system admin you're looking for.
Fantastic.
But yeah, I'll just talk about one of these games. I don't want to take too much away from the other show. But it's one called Spiritual Warfare. And this one is probably the one I played the most because it's absolutely hysterical. You're a soldier for the Lord in a game that's a top-down kind of RPG. It reminded me of the old Legend of Zelda, the original. And so you're walking around. You've got a couple of weapons, one of which is the fruit of the... Do what? What was that, Randall?
I'm booting up this game as we're speaking. It's, oh, yeah. I'm using Fire Ness. If you've got Firefox, then download that. It's an extension. You can play all sorts of Ness games from your browser. So I'm just trying to boot that up.
Yeah,
as you'll talk about, see how crap it is.
But you're walking around in this Zelda-like world. You have a couple weapons, one of which is the fruit of the spirit. If anyone's familiar with Bible stories, you'll know that it's not actually fruit. It's like patience, joy, long-suffering. I can't remember what they all are. But in this game, the fruit of the spirit's they're pears, apples, and whatnot. So you throw the fruit of the spirit at people, and that converts them. Once the fruit touches them, they go from looking really angry and upset to happy. They get on their knees and pray, and then they disappear and leave you some loot behind. And some of that loot is a dove, or one item you get is a dove, and it'll have like a little number inside of it. So it's more or less like rupees. You take these doves, and you can go buy items. And if you want to get a particular item and you don't have enough spirit power, they tell you your spirit's not strong enough, so they insult your faith. The funniest thing that happened while I was playing this... I had the Belt of Truth, which is part of the armor of God that you get in the game. I go into a building that says bar above the door, and when I do this, there's an angel inside the bar. And he says, "You have no business being in a bar. I'm going to take your Belt of Truth away. You have to go to the slums to find it." So later on in the game, you're in a slum area, and you got to find it there. There's lots of gunfighting in the slums, too. That's kind of funny.
I don't think you have any business being in a slum.
Yeah, but there's one building you go in that's near a gunfight that's taking place by some cars. You go in the building, and it's just a kind of like a Mario type, like the original Mario Brothers, the arcade where you just run around on the pipes and stuff. It's kind of set up like that, but there's maybe four levels of nothing but doors on each level. There's like, I don't know, five doors on each section. And people will be poking out of each door, and they're shooting guns, but they're not shooting at anything. Like, just one person pokes out at a time. So you think they may be shooting at you, but sometimes they pop out, and their back's to you, and they're shooting at the wall where nothing is. And you gotta dodge all these bullets and get up to the top to get to the roof of the building. It's really funny.
Okay then.
Yeah, but as far as an achievement, I really don't have one. I did get the Belt of Truth, which happens pretty early on in the game. So yeah, you should check out I Am Air. I don't know when it will be up. Hopefully sometime this week. We're gonna put up a little blog on it, and maybe we'll update the blog too. I know Dan's gonna stick some of his comics up there too. He's been doing those, sticking them on the JPEG.
Yeah, those have actually been pretty good.
Yeah. What was that, Richard?
They are pretty good. I mean, I love the Gears of War one.
Yeah. But yeah, that's, I don't really have an achievement, so someone else can take the reins if they so desire.
Shall I take the reins then, if that's the case?
Go for it, Mr. Dancy.
Okay. Hey, I haven't really got an achievement of the week, really. I've got a new
headset.
This is a
great feature this week, by the way.
I know, this is great.
Nobody's done a damn thing.
We're underachievers.
Proud. Achievement of the week, being an underachiever. Now, this week I bought a new headset, so I've been spending... Well, I wish I could use it, but, I mean, I haven't really been near my Xbox to use it. So, yeah, that's how great I am. But hey,
don't sell yourself short, man. You're great.
You are, Richard. We believe in you.
Yeah, I started an appreciation post for you on our little group there.
We appreciate you.
That's a little awkward. That might be taken a little too...
wow.
No, don't take it away from me.
That's right.
delete.
This is going to get cut out, I know. No one appreciates me. So yeah, I've got a new headset, which means I can finally talk for the first time in like 2 or 3 weeks on live, but I haven't really been on live to talk, so yeah. Other than that, I've been doing work for college. It's a pain in the ass.
So where in the term are you? I mean, is it like the middle of the term or is it the end of the term exams? I mean, because it seems like things have really ramped up for you this past.
This is coursework. This is the start of the term. We haven't even got halfway through the term yet, and it's starting to get hectic. So, God knows what it'll be like in a few weeks' time, a few months' time.
Now, have you ever actually talked about what you're doing in school, what you're studying?
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask.
I'm doing a BTEC media studies course, which is completely coursework based. You do loads of different units on things covering photography, analyzing movie posters, just getting a feel for the media in general. So we've been researching about newspapers, who owns which newspapers, all about the big corporations and Rupert Murdoch. And
yeah, he's the only answer you need, really.
Just write a whole essay with the words Rupert Murdoch, Rupert Murdoch.
What about Hearst? Studying in Hearst? William Randolph Hearst? Getting into him at all? Or is it mostly just...
Media muscles of the past.
It's going to turn into like a massive like Team America, like Matt Damon. Apart from like every answer will be Rupert Murdoch.
And you footnote like once or twice in it, and at the bottom it'll just say, as seen on Fox Television.
But yeah, well, thank God we don't really have the honor of listening to or watching Fox over here that much.
If you want, I can start videotaping it and sending it over. Just
no.
6 hour straight block of program.
From what I've seen on the internet, I don't really want to start watching Fox.
There's just
two words: side boob. That's all I gotta say. But yeah, so I'm also doing a applied ICT course and an English language course, which, like I've said before, the Americans balked up our language, so I'm trying to regain that balkingness.
Is that what they tell you in that?
No, that's just something that I've decided. I mean, put it this way: we spell, organize. No, apologize. You spell it with a Z. We spell it with an S because that's the way it should be.
Yeah, I spelled publicize the other day the British way, and that was a total accident.
Accident?
Yeah,
it
was
that. How dare you?
Sorry, I'm ashamed. I actually changed it, but I can go back and change it again if you want me to.
Once this show is over, I'm coming around to slap you around the face. Dang, just because it. you.
And he spells face with an S.
Face.
What we do, like a duel or something, like fencing?
Yes, it shall be a slapping duel.
That's how you all solve your problems, right? Fencing?
Yes.
What was it? There was like a Japanese Flash game recently, where the plot is that you've married into a noble family, and you come from a lower class, and you married like the sort of the prince son of the family, and he dies, and so now you're left to sort of keep from being mistreated by all of his sisters who hate your guts. And that's all just a big setup for a series of flash-based games. Slapping. You slap one sister, and then she slaps you. Yeah, I got to find it now.
Kind of makes you think of Feel the Magic, that old DS game. Did anyone ever play that?
No.
It's pretty much this guy trying to pick up a girl through random mini-games. Like I think there's one where you...
what is it? Project Rob?
Are you talking to Randall or me?
Oh, whoever.
Oh, huh.
Whoever is listening. I know Randall, no one listens to me, really. I mean, like, on the XCF Defense Force podcast, that like the listeners normally just click the mute button every time I speak. So, yeah.
They download Audacity and just edit your parts out. Make the show.
Yeah. That dedicated. Our fans are that dedicated that they edit me out.
Oh, awesome. The game is called Rose and Camellia.
Rose and Camellia. And it's just a Flash game you can get?
It's just a Flash game. And it is, it's the kind of thing you can imagine playing with the Wiimote, because it depends on the motion that you have to use your mouse to describe an arc across the person's face and then let go of the mouse button and, you know, she slaps. It's pretty awesome. You can dodge and stuff, and there's like, you know, their faces start to get bruised just like in Art of Fighting, you know, when they start to take damage. So
there's a Flash game, Spank the Monkey, where if you move just hear me out on this. If you move the mouse, basically there's this like inflatable monkey that you have to spank, and you basically do this by clicking the mouse button on and dragging the mouse back and then swinging it forward, kind of thing, as fast as you can. But there's a ghetto, like, you can get around this by holding onto the mouse, kind of like, so the hand gets drawn to the side of this box, which is the flash box, basically. And then you bring your mouse outside of this box, bring it around the top, bring it around to the other side where the monkey is, and then put it back in, and the mouse will suddenly move that quick that the monkey gets spanked at something like 300 miles an hour. And then you also hear this good times dum dum but dum 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 dum.
I'm really amazed at some of the stuff they can do in Flash. Now Congregate's got a lot of really fun games, and some of the graphics aren't that bad either. The Castle Crashers one, the Beard Fight or whatever, that was
awesome.
Yeah, it didn't look too much different than Castle Crashers. It's pretty close. Yeah, but Randall, I don't know if you heard me. I don't know if you stepped away, but did you ever play Feel the Magic on DS?
I don't have a DS, so no.
Oh, okay. Well, that was a game that kind of reminded me of what you were saying. You're pretty much a character trying to pick up a girl the whole time, but you do these little mini games. Like, I think there's one where you whisper into the mic, and it's supposedly like you're whispering
sweet nothings
in it, yeah, or pick up lines, whatever you want to call it. And I don't know, there's just a bunch of really random things, and you got to pick up the lady. So for some reason that made me think of that. It's like, it seems like that's really big in Japan, those type of mini games.
The best of which is WarioWare Mega Micro Games, the original Game Boy Advance.
I don't remember that much.
It's a bunch of stupid little mini games that you get about, you know, a half a second to recognize what it is that you're supposed to do, and do it before time runs out.
I was in holiday in Corfu in Greece. Or vacation, as you like to call it. And I just spent hours every day playing WarioWare. I finished the game in like 2 or 3 days, but I just kept coming back to the minigames because I'm just that addicted.
Yeah, like the one where you have to catch the cat sleeping or...
Yeah.
At the right time.
I was a fan of the ones where you had to... the stupid ones where you had to... press the button when the finger is near the nose, like under the nose, or when, like, the toilet roll, you have to like unravel it as fast as possible. Those the stupid ones. Well, they're all stupid, really. But.
Right.
Yeah, but I like the relationship ones though. Those are fun. And that's when I say that about Japanese people being in mini games. It seems like these specifically, the kind of more odd ones, the kind of social ones, come out of there fairly often. But as far as unrolling toilet paper, I've never played anything like that.
Yeah, it's the future. It's the way forward.
Sounds awesome. That would be like great if you could get an attachment for the Wii that's just like a roll of toilet paper, and you just unroll the toilet paper that's on the Wii controller, and it does it on the screen. Yeah. Or like they could have.
What are you doing in there, Wes? Oh, I don't know. I can't get up. My legs are numb now. But I like stop playing this game.
Right, and see, they could do that with other bathroom things too. They could have a plunger. You could have a clogged up toilet on your game and just plunge it.
Hey, now you don't have to play with your Wii. You don't have to play with Wii. You can play with other toilet related things.
Right, and maybe they can come out with a whole toilet that would plug into your Wii, and you know, take what you will from that. And you can do whatever.
It's moments like this that make me leave the podcast each week, going, "Oh God, this is the worst one yet."
I thought the silence was pretty bad, but no toilet related
silence
jokes.
I can get rid of. Actively bad stuff is a harder thing to deal with.
Sorry, I'm
we didn't even finish achievement. Holly, what's
no, we did. No. Holly, what have you been playing?
I don't really have one either. I got an achievement in pub games this morning, which is, I don't even know what it was. I'm just happy to get one because I hate pub games. I don't know why I played.
I haven't tried that out. Doesn't Fable 2 come out next week, right?
Is it next week?
I think so.
Yeah.
And then a week after that's Fallout 3, right?
Yep. That's correct.
I really would like both of them. I didn't play the first Fable, but the more I hear about this one, the more I kind of want to. But I got to save my money for Fallout 3. Sorry, Peter.
Oh, I'm getting them both. It's just how I am.
Gosh, you're high roller.
I know. No, I'm not. That's why
It's too bad you can't buy Fable 2 with the credits you earn in pub games. I think if you get enough, you'd be able to do that. Make some type of currency out of it.
Yeah. If only I could make fake pub game currency. It's really sad.
$100 billion.
Dr. Evil.
$100 million. Fragillion. Yen.
You know the guy who co-wrote those movies with Mike Myers as one of my high school classmates?
Really? I didn't know that.
Yep. If you look
he wasn't
in the
responsible credits, for the Love Guru, was he?
I don't know, but he did write. He has the sole writing credits for that movie, Baby Mama, that came out.
Oh, nice.
All that. So, good on him, putting that Yale education to great use. I think he might have been a writer for SNL for a while. So,
well, what was his name?
Actually,
name drop.
He and I weren't exactly great friends in high school, as in at all. So,
nice.
At best, basically, you know.
So what you're trying to say is he was an asshole, or you were an asshole. One of you were assholes.
I think it's more of a both and kind of thing.
So it's high school.
Yeah, it is, and that's why. And I'm coming up on this next fall will be our 20th year reunion for high school. And let me tell you, they did like a 10-year reunion, and that ain't far enough away, people. that is not long enough. Mm-hmm. So here's the weird thing: over the past 3 months, all these people I know from high school have been coming onto Facebook and starting to friend me, and I'm sitting here going, okay, I know I can see why this might be kind of a run up to the reunion. I can't figure out whether it's a run up to that or whether they're just all discovering it now for the first time. But
new trend of social networking.
I can't quite figure out whether I'm pleased by the opportunity to renew some friendships or whether I'm like, it's a 20-year reunion that you do on one day and then you put it behind you and never think about it again. You don't continue to have conversations with those people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not decided yet. I'm not sure what I think.
I skipped my 10-year reunion. We had it.
So did I.
Last year. Yeah. And I've been all the people from high school that I want to talk to, I still talk to. And
yeah.
The only reason I would want to go is to see who all gained weight. I know that's horrible, but I was pretty non-sociable in high school and didn't have a lot of friends. And I don't know. I guess it's the whole revenge thing, which is probably bad of me. But yeah, that honestly just
I'm going to take away your belt of truth for that.
Oh snap! But yeah, I don't know. Have any of you all? How long have you guys been out of school, Holly and Richard?
While.
Wow.
I'm still in college, so yeah.
What year in college are you?
First year. I think it's a completely different system to how you do it in America. So, yeah.
You're like actually 12.
No.
And they actually learn things over there.
I'm using James Gillard's method of reckoning age. The first time he explained the school system, he's like, we arrived at somehow at the fact that he was teaching 1-year-olds. And they're like, wait, how could that be?
It's kind of like Ender's Game.
That's right. Yeah. They're all prodigies.
Great book, by the way. If you like sci-fi, go for it. I guess, Holly, were you done? Or did we like totally derail your achievement
section? That was it. Sorry.
I think we might have to like dig around Google and try and find a train derailing sound to play back on the FSA.
Freesound.org.
Right. All right. So I didn't get really any achievements, and I did not go to my 10-year reunion either. There you go.
I can't blame you. I probably won't go to 20 either. I'll probably be dead from eating too much sugar by then, though, so no big worry.
All right, nice. So are we going to talk about notable items on the Joystick Podcast?
No.
Jetpack people.
And you know why we're not?
As though there were me.
Oh, well, I mean, there has already been some complaint about the fact that this is the second week that Justin hasn't been on the show.
Wow.
It was sad. That's like, I could hardly bear to listen to it. I mean, no offense to Ludwig and Chris, but without the trifecta, it's just less powerful.
You know, they said Justin to E for All, right? Mm-hmm. And then they went to the Tokyo Game Show. I think I would have a little trouble feeling like I hadn't been completely and totally ripped off.
Yeah. I don't know. Fatality is a thing that they talked about a couple weeks ago. That sounded pretty promising.
Not.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, Justin not being on the show, I don't think he'll be on ever again after the post that he made on the joystick.
Yeah, that was a bit saucy.
I saw the splash for it, so to speak.
the splash.
But
and my toilet joke's too risque.
We haven't exactly said what the whole thing is about yet, and yet we're already laughing about it. Okay.
Maybe we should. We need to keep it on a PG level.
Okay, so just posted a topic about bleep might be better for gamers, so
neither Randall nor myself have listened to the podcast this week, so we can't really comment on it. I kind of had a weird day yesterday. I mentioned already that I recorded that show and talked to Suzanne a bit on the phone. I like to keep bringing that up. Hey, Suzanne. She's like the Stephen Totilo of the show.
But we've had to start and stop recording so many times now that
that's probably the only time I brought her up. But the first time I brought her up on the show was while she was still in Japan, and I said her name wrong. I called her Susan, and she mentioned that in the email because she listens to the show. But she said she's going to make up something to call me that's close to my name, like Leslie or something. So I'm cool with Leslie. I don't know what
I'm saying. See, now you're all conscious about how you're speaking because Richard's made a point to say that we...
I know, see, language. Richard's got me really paranoid. Sometimes I slip into really bad grammar. It's not always the case, but quite a bit. I don't know, I am from Western Kentucky in a small town, so...
as someone who actually has an advanced degree in English with a concentration in linguistics, I can tell you that region-specific dialects are considered by most theorists now to be perfectly authentic and acceptable way to express oneself, even if they deviate from standard usage.
You know, one thing that always sticks out
also,
in my mind that
people, yeah.
Go ahead. One thing that sticks out in my mind that happens a lot around here is that people want to say library. I work at a library, Richard and Holly. Oh, Holly, you knew that. I don't know if you did, Richard. But yeah, people say library all the time. My niece said it to me once, and I asked her if library was a flavor of Kool-Aid. But that was me.
A poison.
I've heard people who work in libraries say library.
Yeah, that's happens here too. But I listen to a public speaking podcast because I'm trying to improve the way I communicate. And recently they had an episode about mispronounced words, one of which was library. And the lady, who is apparently an expert at public speaking, said that there's at least one dictionary that has both pronunciations. So I don't know if it's starting to be more accepted to say that, which I find really, really sad. I think it may have been Words for Dummies or something like that. I'm just kidding if you say library. Mary, rather.
Well, that's the thing about dictionaries is that they're usually taken – I mean, in some ways this is a very meta thing to say, but dictionaries are often taken as prescriptive, meaning, oh, that's where you go to find out how you should use words, when in fact most dictionaries that I've looked at are – if you look at them, they state very clearly that they're descriptive, meaning they're really just a catalog of the way people already use a particular word. The Oxford English Dictionary is like that.
That may have been the one she looked at, actually, now that you say that. I think Webster's didn't have it, but then Dictionary X that she also looked at did have it, so I can't remember the titles. But yeah, that really, like, library actually sounds kind of like something that they would have a flavor of at the Willy Wonka Chocolate Factory. One of the kids would probably take it.
But it would be poisonous because it's like that's where you get lye.
Right, and when they lie after eating it, maybe they would like blow up into, I don't know, a blueberry or something. But yeah, it's, I don't even
how
know.
How are we actually going to get back on track from this point?
I really don't know. I don't even know how we got here. So yeah, moving on. No points from the Joystick podcast this week because Randall and I haven't listened
We're also – really what that means is it's a silent protest that Justin didn't get to go to Tokyo and is, you know, not on the show this week.
Join us after the podcast for a rousing rendition of We Shall Overcome around the flagpole.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to go on to the – finally got onto the XVF Fancast notable items.
Do it.
Yeah, quit freaking chewing on my phone.
Wow.
Stop it, Ed.
Okay, so
he's really causing trouble. He's on the cat. He's not leaving me alone.
Oh,
headbutting me.
Cat, I guess.
Yes.
Or the little boy you keep locked downstairs.
No, there's a reason that I mean, just as you say, I keep him locked downstairs. Cat gets free reign, though.
Aw.
It's like one of those zombies from 28 Days Later. He gets out sometimes, walks around.
All right.
But anyways, so, the Xbox 360.
Yeah, we actually did listen to the Fancast. Well, I did anyway. So some notable points from the Fancast. Number one, the Dustin like mess up. Or was it really a mess up? I don't know. About... they were talking about Fable 2, and they were basically going on about no one had asked Peter Molyneux the question if you can have relationships with co-op players in the game.
With what again? My audio cut out for a second. I didn't understand everything you just said.
Yeah, they were having a bit of... They were asking about... No one had asked Peter Molyneux the question about if you can have relationships with co-op players in Fable 2.
Ah, okay.
So that kind of got off track, and Mr. Dustin Berg, questioned if you could have some kind of relationship with your AI dog in the game.
Yeah.
He doesn't get out much.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
Yeah, that's the second week in a row they've like rolled into the gutter pretty quickly, like right off the bat.
So can you though? Can you have like co-op players, or has no one really?
I don't know, but
so no one has an asset.
But to be honest, I don't really want to be using sheepskin condoms or condoms, if you say it. I don't really want to be using one of those on my dog. I'm not going to attempt.
Yeah, that's a but as far as other players though, that there was no solution put out there to that question or answer. I guess I should say.
I don't think so.
But you could have like a little Second Life thing going on there.
Well, I mean, your co-op players can have relationships with your in-game wives and stuff like that. But I mean, Bully, when that came out, there was all that kerfuffle about the gay achievement. Now, I'd be prepared to do that achievement, but what I wouldn't be prepared to do is bend over for a dog. I'm sorry, but that's taking it a bit too far.
Yeah, that is. I agree. That's hopefully that's not true, because that would make me feel weird about buying Fable 2, even though I would never participate in that particular achievement if that was one. But yeah, that's a bit strange.
So
kerfuffle is a sweet word, though.
Kerfuffle.
Yeah, kerfuffle. It is.
I like that.
Little Britain brought that to my attention, that word. Little Britain USA. I'm going to go on record and say it's the best version of Little Britain. If you haven't watched it, seriously, watch it. I think I brought it up last time I was on here.
I saw your status on the Facebook status about that. I haven't seen it. I've seen the box to the show, but like the DVD sets or whatever, but I haven't seen the show itself. Is it on BBC America?
Yeah, it should. No, it's on HBO, I think. I'll send you a few choice YouTube clips after the show. Yeah,
I don't have the fancy cable.
there are quite a few moments which, let's just say, your kids want to be tucked up in bed when it's on.
Yeah, I love British comedy. We bring up Stephen Fry every time James is on. He's brilliant. And the Fry and Laurie, that was a great show.
Stephen Fry, and not so much comedy, but James May of Top Gear, if you've ever seen the British version of Top Gear. I know they're making an American one.
I see it on sometimes, but I haven't ever sat down and watched.
My brother loves that show.
That is another one of Britain's greatest outports. Exports, that's the one. Exports, outports.
Do you watch QI at all?
I know QI. I love that show.
James brings that up quite a bit. I would really be interested in seeing it, but it hasn't been imported yet. I get BBC America on satellite, so I get to watch a few of these things.
Wow. Yeah, there are quite a few decent shows now pumping out of the BBC. But I mean, I don't know if many of them are coming over to the US. But
Doctor Who, are you a Doctor Who fan?
First series, I kind of was into it, but now it's just... I mean, it's over until 2012. They're not making any more seasons until then.
Yeah, well, no, it's just... It may be set up on a different schedule. I assume you'll get them before this. I was thinking they were just skipping a year and coming back. It could be wrong. No,
they've kind of brought the whole story arc to an end, and now they're just like, they've signed a new director up for it. But
yeah, Stephen Moffat, right? Isn't he doing it now?
I'm not sure. But anyway, this isn't XDF related.
Oh, yes.
We've got to do this professional.
Oh, you do know who you asked to be a co-host, right?
Yeah, I know. Professionalism kind of went out the window in the first 5 minutes, I think.
Okay, go ahead. We can edit that up.
No, to keep that in. Keep that in.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it was a few weeks ago now, but this wasn't really Fancast. Well, it was kind of Fancast related. I think it was last week's image for the fan cast of Peter Molyneux in a car picking up Alexander Slowinski. Yeah, that was kind of disturbing. I'm just going to go on record now and say it, but yeah. So I mean, I can't really think of anything else really to bring up apart from the question that was asked at the end of the latest fan cast. This guy sent in a message to both the Joystick podcast and the 360 fan cast, asking if Richard Mitchell and Chris Grant were the same person. and they actually got Chris Grant on the show to like go on and prove himself. And yeah, the outcome was quite hilarious.
They did the same thing on the Joystick podcast 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, Richard came on through phone, I think. Didn't
Chris Wesley, I don't know if you felt this way, but for a minute or two when they started, I didn't realize that he had actually brought Richard Mitchell on the show. I actually thought that he was just imitating himself doing several times.
Maybe it's kind of like a spoilers Fight Club. Same guy.
There was all that thing. I mean, everyone's getting confused on whose voice is who. Because, I mean, on the fan cast, you've got apparently Alexander and Dustin sound alike. Zav was mistaken for... everyone thought that Zav was... I can't even remember who the other guy was. The one that was never on the show, but was the... he was doing articles for X3F for a bit. I can't remember his name now. Terrence. Terrence. Everyone thought they were the same people. And then Terrence kind of left after the great AOL web blogs disaster.
Debacle.
Yes.
Chris and Richard, they're both pretty good straight men, though. It's always good to have someone to stay on target.
I was surprised. Richard actually, he had a different demeanor just coming on as a guest star. It made me want to actually hear him on a show where he didn't have to host it. Because he seemed like a really, smart, casual kind of guy. Whereas on the show, it's clear that he's got sort of the cat herding hat on.
Hopefully, if all goes well, your dream will come true. Your dream will hopefully come true one day.
Ooh, nice. Yeah, luckily he doesn't have any
clumsy way of saying that he's going to be on your show.
Possibly.
Okay.
Possibly.
All right.
Yeah, just a little tip coming from some people who had a writer from their site, their chosen site on the show. Just be careful. Episode 3, which you haven't heard yet.
I may never.
we need to get it out. The people need to know the truth, Randall.
They do need to know the truth. There's so much misinformation and myths surrounding Episode 3, and only a few really know what actually happened.
Perhaps we'll leave a CD-ROM of it out somewhere in the woods, like when we're looking for Blair Witch.
Episode 3 project.
Well, I'll let you in on a little secret. I mean, well, it's not that much of a secret, really, but at one point we were trying to get Jonathan Colton on the show. It looked like he was actually going to come on at one point.
That would be great.
But then he had a little... Yeah. Baby.
His wife gave birth. Yes. Messed up our plans.
How could she?
Damn it.
So,
well, you guys did really well with Sean Baptiste. I said this before the show, but the X3F FDF did like a special podcast that released, I guess it was yesterday or the day before? Yesterday it released, where yesterday being Friday, October the 9th.
Or it was Thursday, but still, yeah.
Whatever. It was yesterday. You all know what that means. It was just a half-hour interview between Holly and Patrick and Sean Baptiste of Harmonix. It's actually a really informative interview. So,
I haven't listened to that yet, but now that I have an iPod cable in my clutches, I can catch up on my podcast. So I'll grab that one. Listen to it on my way to Evansville. I do subscribe to your fan cast. I think I subscribe to it on more than one computer, too. So, thank me later.
Twice as many guys. All right. So, actually, no, that brings our total listeners to one.
Double digits now, is it?
No, it's down to one.
Oh. You thought you had two, but you found out you just subscribed.
Yeah.
One more thing about the fan cast this week. Justin, I really like that thing he said about Gears of War.
I missed that.
No, I didn't really.
He's just random.
I just figured that it happened.
Oh, I really like that thing about Gears of War.
Oh, yeah.
Since he talks about it all the time. Yes, very informative. So, are we going to just sit here and chat for a bit about why we're here? About the whole extra life thing?
Why are we here? Why am I here?
Sure.
Oh, that's so existential, baby.
So next week, something special's happened. What's that?
So we're going to...
My birthday. Not really.
Is it?
No, I was just joking. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you're not getting anything from me.
Except grief.
So next week, we're going to be doing a... Oh, Sarcastic Gamer are hosting a Extra Life event, which is... Well, I'm not really qualified to describe the event, so who wants to take this from me?
Me, I guess.
Wesley?
Sure, why not? Sarcastic Gamer is a podcast some of you may be familiar with, based out of Texas. I know one of the hosts, they're from Chicago, but two of the guys are in Texas. And they have a benefit they put together called Extra Life, and it's for a children's hospital in Texas that specializes in leukemia treatment. And it's kind of like a walk-a-thon, but for people who are out of shape. Justin made that analogy on a it was either a podcast or a post. I can't remember. But like I said, it works like the walk-a-thons. People will pledge X amount per hour you play games, and then at the end of the day, I guess you collect. It's a bit cumbersome for people to pledge because you actually have to go to the site to sign up for an account. I think there are things to do, like maybe you can print up some sheets or something if people don't have computers. And, yeah, you just play games all day and make money for a good cause. And that's all I have to say about that.
So, yeah, we're going to be playing three games. The first two we've kind of half decided are going to be a bit of Griffball and Halo 3 and Call of Duty. So, the third game we're still trying to work out. So I know that Randall wants to do something. Randall, you can.
Yeah, what I'll do is post a note in the JPEG in the discussion area, start a thread, basically soliciting requests for, you know, what the third game ought to be. And then also folks who actually are interested in participating, because Wesley won't be available earlier in the day, he'll be available in the evening. And depending on when the timing happens, we obviously want to have fun while we're also doing something for a good cause. So if you want to be on one of the teams, you can post in that thread. And it should be actually up and available well before they actually hear this. So
yeah, and if you want to check out the charity and just kind of get an idea of what they're about, it's extralife.sarcasticgamer.com. They got a site up, and you can go there and sign up for an account and join a team. I think you need to search for JPEG and it'll pop up.
Yeah, it's well worth it. I mean, at the end of the day, 24 hours playing games, you get to do something you love, and also you're helping out a good cause as long as you're getting someone to sponsor.
Right, so you've got a good excuse if someone says, man, you play games all day. Well, why didn't you do something productive?
And the best thing is, you don't have to be playing for 24 hours straight. You can always just play, for example, 10 to 10, like 10 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night. And then just pick up where you left off the next day.
And it says gaming, too. It doesn't necessarily say video games. So if you wanted to go into the kitchen to grab something to eat and work off a bit of pounds or something, you can hopscotch into the kitchen and pick up a sandwich or whatever, get something to drink.
Hey, you could probably actually use that Wii Fit.
Right. And Randall mentioned... Randall mentioned chest. I just said chest.
chest. Yeah.
Postal correspondence. Yeah, so you
3 years from now, you get a winner,
or maybe like you can do email. The email is a new thing they have now, where you can send notes a little bit quicker.
It'd be a good way to involve the prison population.
Exactly. Everyone needs to get in on this.
You know, there's actually the thing has really blown up in the sense of there's a ton of people who are actually part of it now. If you check the site, there's actually a special challenge that Electronic Arts has put up. They'll match people's donations in terms of, you know, for every dollar you raise, they'll actually match that in the form of games that they'll give to the kids who are being treated at the, you know, at the Texas Children's Center. I think there is a cap that's listed here. They say up to $2,000, but still $2,000 is a lot of games for a bunch of kids right there. Okay.
Yeah, we'll if you subscribe to the X3FFDF Twitter feed, we'll be giving more information about when you can go on the JPEG site and just sign up for it, like express your interest in it, and you can. Yeah, so just before I forget, the address is twitter.com/x3ffdf. So,
awesome.
And in other Twitter news, I am now being followed by the great Zav Dimatos.
Does that make you feel weird when people are following you, like you're being stalked or something?
No, it's just that, he's been on my friends list for ages, and I keep sending him messages. And we have the
few. That was another attempt at a joke. I'm on Twitter too, /WesleyJ. I certainly am.
This is the great Twitter promotion now.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter too, but I'm not telling you.
I was sending them all messages, and all I got was a restraining order.
Back on Sarcastic Gamers charity here. I scrolled down the page, and you get a pretty cool looking shirt if you raise at least $192. And it says it'll be delivered to you after the event, so I don't know if someone instantly shows up on your door at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Ding dong.
Booyah, he's following me too. Restraining order lifted. Anyway, back to our serious topic of raising money for sick children.
Yes.
I think
we're playing games.
Right. I think we kind of covered it. I don't know. Is there anything else to talk about?
I don't know, but I go to the team page and... I mean, for me, it says money raised, on the team site, it says raised $60, and that's from my my fundraising.
Nice.
So, come on, people, raise some money.
Yeah,
I'll be donating soon, just get onto it.
How are they handling it? Get onto it. How are they handling foreign donations? Can you do that through PayPal? I don't know.
Pretty sure you can do it through PayPal. I know that
that's what it says.
Yeah, I know that Sarcastic Gamer have actually said that they fully endorse foreign people playing.
I think they fully endorse foreign people. They're in favor of the foreign people.
Yes, the foreign nice. People. The yeah. unwanted people of the world.
We love foreigners at JPEG.
We are the people who are not gifted enough to be born into the country of the United States of America.
Yes, the greatest financial engine in the world.
Yes.
AIG. Sorry.
Wow.
We can't get political, guys. We can't get political.
No. This matter.
There's enough of those shows.
If we go any more political about that on this show, then there'll just be a big black hole that'll just devour the world.
Right. So. We're about fun here. You can talk about the depressing things on, I don't know, Anderson Cooper 360 or something. But yeah, you can edit that out, Randall.
that's a point. How is the economy going to affect the games industry?
It's a good question. There was they recently interviewed one of the guys from Xbox, because the statement that's been thrown around with respect to the Xbox is that of all the consoles, it's the most recession-proof.
Mostly because of the price drop recently, right?
The price drop and the fact that there's such a big library of games on Live Arcade, and whatever what you've already bought. You can expand with DLC and...
Yeah, and you know, some of the budget price.
Yeah, the platinum hits are out there. But the guy that they talked to, and gosh, of course, I'm not going to know his name now. He was basically like, I would not say anything along the lines of, it's recession-proof. But he did say that... he thought it was as you might imagine, he says it's the best value that you can get right now, especially with the price there. So,
and he followed that up with the Xbox rules, PS3 rules, I think, right?
Right. I don't know. I mean, the thing is, we don't exactly. I mean, we don't know what the full ramifications are going to be. That's the thing. These are like domino kinds of experiences. Right. You can't really just say it's going to be this and no more. It's going to affect us in this way, but that'll be it because I just don't know. They had an interesting piece on Marriott hotels on NPR the other day where they were talking about how people with jobs there, that the way Marriott actually pays their payroll is by rolling over their loans pretty much on a daily basis. And now they can't do that because no one's lending money. And so they're having to stop construction on things that they've got built. You know, they may be looking at job cuts because of the way their pay structure is set up. So you just don't know. I think it's probably – it's unfortunate timing for the game industry because, this is a huge fall release schedule. But it's – at the same time, it's hard to see what's happening with the world financial markets and not feel – a little odd about reading Tokyo Game Show news every day.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Someone brought up on a show I listened to recently how things like movies and games tend to survive recessions just because, if you're just sitting in your house and, you can play a video game or you can watch a DVD or something and maybe not necessarily be out that much cash. And that's something that you can keep doing for an extended period of time and not get tired of. So you're not want to go to town every weekend, 2 days a week, and spend a bunch of money.
The thing is, that's all right if you've already got games, but the games industry can't evolve if no one's buying the games.
Right.
If everyone's playing the games and just sitting at home, that's not really doing it unless it's arcade.
Well, when you say it like that, if they do buy a new game for like $50 or $60, then that's like a good, month's worth of entertainment packed into one flat charge instead of, I don't know what movie theater prices are in your guys' neck of the woods, but I know it's getting pretty bad here. So by the time you go see like 4 movies in the span of a month, you could probably buy a pretty decent game.
Well, you know who's going to make out like bandits in the middle of this is Gamefly.
Exactly, yeah.
Because instead of having to, you've got 10 great games coming out in 2 months or whatever, instead of having to look at the prospect of shelling out $500 or $600, you instead shell out $20 a month, and you can still play them all.
Yeah, I need to investigate that. Actually, I've been a member of Netflix, but I've never did Gamefly. But
it's good.
Probably
it's good.
Are they pretty quick?
It's about like Netflix is, and just like Netflix, you have a queue with preferences and. If the game that you want isn't available, they send you the next one down. It really works exactly the same way.
Have they ever thought of doing any or talked of doing anything like GameTap? Or, Netflix has Watch It Now. Do they have anything like Play It Now where you can actually just go to the website and play it?
I don't know. I haven't seen that recently. The other thing I was thinking of is for the first time a couple of days ago, I tried Redbox. The thing where you go online and you reserve a copy of a DVD to rent, and then you go to the local, whichever place you've reserved it at, and it's like a Coke machine outside the, in the shopping center, and you just swipe your card and enter it, and the DVD comes out, and it's like a buck to rent stuff. It's
magic.
Oh, you need those.
I didn't know there was an online thing to that.
Yeah. I've seen those before. I didn't know they did that.
It was we watched. That's how we watched Iron Man the other day.
Which I don't think we have them over here, but yeah, whatever you say.
How long do you get to keep them for?
It's 24 hours, But it's a buck for 24 hours. You bring it right back, drop it in the slot, you're done.
Excellent. How'd you like Iron Man, by the way?
I expected more based on the hype. But I thought it was a very solid movie. I liked it.
I loved it. I think I liked it better than The Dark Knight, honestly.
It was more enjoyable than The Dark Knight.
Yeah, it was more fun. The Dark Knight was too serious, I guess. Why so serious? Yeah. And I love The Dark Knight as well.
That's the thing. There was something on Dig.com the other day. This Halloween is just going to be so crap because everyone's going to be dressed as the Joker.
Right. Mm. Yeah, and I saw I was in Evansville, Indiana, maybe a week ago, and I saw a billboard for a haunted house in the area called the Old Courthouse Catacombs, and they're doing a Dark Knight theme or just a Joker-specific theme. There's a giant picture of Heath Ledger on the billboard that I saw, and it said, Night of the Living Dead, the Joker at the old courthouse catacombs. And I don't know.
That's
I don't
think it was intentional. Unfortunate.
Yeah. Given the area that I was in, no offense to Evansville people, I think they probably did it without thinking that the actor had just passed away recently. I don't think they would have done something that blatant on a billboard, at least. They probably would have done it if a select group of people would have seen it. But as far as a billboard on the side of the road, I don't think they would go in that direction. At least I hope not. But yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
Wow.
Where the heck are we in this show?
I don't know, but I'm going to throw it off a bit more. England are winning 2-0 against Kazakhstan in the World Cup qualifier.
Wow.
Beating Barat's team.
Yes, Barat actually isn't playing today. He's been substituted. Oh, wait, no, it's 2-1.
But yeah, I think right now, you said where we're at. We're in like the random banter, war comments, predictions for next week, extra life contest, smack talk. So I guess we took care of 6 and 7 with all the stuff we just said.
Yeah, well, we can just sum that up in saying XJF is going to win.
Yeah, well, that's just like your opinion, man.
No. There is some scientific study somewhere that backs me up on that one.
Was that another one of your Google Fight debacles?
Yeah. I've lost two of those in the past week. I've got to do my research before throwing down Google Battle gauntlets.
No, I Googled
pirates
myself.
Best than ninjas are better than pirates. No, they're not. Okay, we'll do a Google battle about them.
Pirates. I Googled myself once, and I found this African American bodybuilder named Wesley Johnson, and the picture, like, it was him in a Speedo, like, flexing. I mean, he's just a huge, oiled up dude. He was at a bodybuilding contest. It said Wesley Johnson underneath it. I had loads of laughter after seeing that.
Well, according to Google, I'm a jazz musician. So.
Oh.
Nice.
I think before I added you as a friend on Facebook or whatever, I was getting you confused with Richard Mitchell. Like, I saw you on there and I added you. It's like, this is the guy from the other website. Yeah. Isn't I was that? Wrong.
Yes. Let's just say I'm not too married for 2 years. Well, congratulations, Richard, by the way. I know you probably won't be listening to this, but yeah.
Maybe he's Googling. And found you.
Speaking of Google. I just sent you all a link on the chat there that I thought was rather informative.
So, oh, for God's sake. Google fight.
JPEG show versus X3F FDF.
Yeah, you had to put show at the end of it. Okay, well.
Yeah.
Well, of course, that should narrow it down.
FDF.
If I just put JPEG there, it'll be like a billion. See what happens if I just change the JPEG.
I haven't used the Google Fight in a while.
Oh crap! Even if you put show at the end of it,
if I put that's what I said. I put show at the end of it, and it was like 3,000 to 500. If I take show off, it's 59,000 to 500. Oh yes, I amuse myself. That should be the third game. Just Google Fight, like over and over.
That's not even a game.
Well, no, if you get enough people, you have everybody like entering searches for whatever the two terms are over and over and over again on like, 12 browsers open on the same desktop, and we might be able to influence the results.
No, because it's the number of results, like not the number of searches, it's the number of websites that have got JPEG written on them.
Or in this case, JPEG show.
I think we should wrap it up.
Aw, yeah.
Yeah, so I've been Richard, representing the X3F FDF.
Yeah, he has.
I'm Wesley for the JPEG.
And
she's Holly.
Yeah, and I'm Randall.
She? Where? Who?
Catsmoke.
I was waiting for you to say something that you never did, so I took the initiative.
Nice, thank you.
All right, folks. Let's get out of here.
Scram.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
See ya.
Yeah, I have to pee really bad.
You know what? what I realized?
What?
That I have the most wonderful show, face?
No, just I get on the show and I'm grumpy, and then like I got up to go get some coffee, and I'm like, God, you know, sometimes, especially now with the financial markets doing what they're doing, I mean, making just to make your way in the world
today takes everything
you've got. And damn it, you totally got it.